And it's time now for our to welcome in our very next guest, Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle-Telegram. He joins us on our local beat. It's brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. Jim, Bob, the entire gang at Vandermark Jewelers want to make sure that you have a terrific experience when you walk inside the showroom. They have so many different kinds of gifts for you to choose from. Whether you're thinking about getting down on one knee and asking the big question, or perhaps you've already done that and you're looking for some wedding bands, they've got an extensive collection, and it's top-notch customer service that you're not going to find anywhere else. So make sure you see Jim and Bob and the entire gang down at Vandermark Jewelers, right across from the hospital on Broad Street in Elyria, a trusted name in jewelry. Dave, how are you today, my friend?
I'm doing all right, Bull. Thanks.
Well, a lot of things for us to discuss today, but most importantly, now that we're past Memorial Day, Memorial Day is like the official start of the summer to some anyways. To me, I know it's officially summer when I see orange barrels every 5 feet, and that was one of the stories that you wrote about earlier this week discussing the detours all across Elyria. Which areas specifically do we really need to be aware of in the coming weeks that we should probably avoid because of all the construction?
Well, I think everybody's already seen the signage up here at West Avenue and Broad. If you're trying to go north on West Avenue, don't do it from Broad Street. I'll tell you that. Those signs are already up, and then also you have your Ohio State flowers out there. Somebody was telling me earlier, the orange barrels.
And the Ohio State flowers are called orange. I love that. Nice. Okay.
I'm sure it's the same in the state up north and in Indiana and Pennsylvania. I'm sure they probably all have the same jokes. So it works everywhere. But you're going to want to avoid, unless you want to go just in one direction, you're going to want to avoid Chestnut Ridge Road for the next several weeks. There's going to be a lot of construction going on there. Some more, repaving, resurfacing. Down the line, you're going to want to pretty much avoid Abbey Road for any reason whatsoever. There's going to be a lot of construction out there. It's just starting under the turnpike for right now, where North Abbey Road crosses under the turnpike. You're going to want to avoid that. The traffic is being maintained, but at the same time, there are crews that are replacing guardrails and doing concrete work and sidewalk work. So you'll probably want to avoid that if you want to avoid a little bit of a headache, a little bit of a delay. Hey, at least you can drive on Gulf Road now. So
that's a plus. Small steps. Yeah, small steps. Just one at a time. So, it's interesting, too, because I know a lot of people have been clamoring for more, road work to be done. And then all of a sudden the road work is being done. And it's like, well, what the heck? I mean, now we need paths to work or we need paths to home. I mean, it does get interesting this time of the year because there are so many detours that you need to be aware of. I'm really interested, though, on a project on Cleveland Street east of 57 because, boy, if you've driven on that, you've probably been thinking the same thing I have over the last few months. This needs to be repaved. This needs to be redone in the worst way possible as you kind of make your way across the tracks and go into North Ridgeville. Any idea when that project is to begin?
I don't know specifically the date. I know that the city is still working on accepting a lot of bids and reviewing the bids for these kinds of things. North Ridgeville has been working on their roads, the roads that come into Elyria. Ridgeville, of course, having for a long time been the fastest growing city in Lorain County. They're doing a lot of work on their roads out there. They need to widen their roads. They've put in, so a lot of the surrounding communities have been, around Elyria have been putting in roundabouts to try to kind of lessen the traffic a little bit. That is also one of those places where there's a headache because there is a lot of development going on out that way. And you need to be able to put in these roads that can handle the increased traffic. So get it done now before a lot of this construction work starts going. Some people are going to say, "Oh, well, that's going to ruin the roads before we ever get to use them." Well, get it done now, get the traffic pattern figured out, and then do the construction. Do that development construction later. So I'll update everybody, in the Chronicle as soon as I know dates, as soon as we have set firm dates from City Council and their committees. We'll let everybody know.
You had mentioned Chestnut Ridge Road a little bit earlier. Now, this is going to be one-way traffic here relatively soon, correct?
That's true, yeah, yeah.
So this is one-way traffic starting at 57?
From 57, starting actually today, message boards were up. Basically, Chestnut Ridge Road is going to be repaved from Dewhurst Road to Highland Park Drive. City money, state money, some area, some regional money mixed in there to pay for that. You're going to see Chestnut Ridge Road eastbound closed to traffic. East River Road, 257, and you're going to have to follow the posted detours. They're doing the southern lane, the eastbound lane first. Complete that. Switch to the northbound. Switch to the northern lane, the westbound lane. To finish the project, that'll save a couple weeks actually in the project. Should be done in late July, you know, before the start of school. If you don't want to just drive kind of the one way, which will be westbound only, a one-way road, sort of coming into the city, you know, avoid that area, because that's all you're going to be able to do. So you're going to see a lot of the surrounding streets, you know, Dewhurst, East River, Fuller, Grafton Road, all those places are going to see increased traffic. Again, kind of a pain, but at the same time, the roadway's really falling apart on Chestnut Ridge in that area. They're putting in a sidewalk so people will be able to walk from you know, walk in that area. The edge of the road was actually falling off, is what I was told by the city engineer's office. So that was collapsing, and you don't want that to happen in a split second during a rainstorm. You know, that's dangerous.
That'd be a little scary, yeah.
Yeah. you see some of the videos of these sinkholes and roads collapsing and stuff, and you think, oh my gosh, you know, I hate to live in Oklahoma. Well, how about living in Ohio and having that happen on a heavily traveled road like that?
Sure.
You don't want that. So the city's getting a lot of these projects done as soon as possible this summer. Again, some of that stuff is going to be delayed. The list of 19 streets that the city decided to pave with Issue 6 money, those are going to be, you know, done between, you know, say the next couple weeks to, you know, or after July 1st, all the way into early fall. And some of them will take a week, and some of them will maybe take, I don't know, 2 weeks. And again, you know, a lot of the details are still being hammered out on this kind of stuff. So you have to look at the city has to look at the bids, has to approve the bids. You know, I have to go back and say, oh, well, we want this punch list done too. You got to put in these new, you know, catch basins, you know, things like that. So there's always going to be a little extra something on either end, you know, to complicate the process. You know, the best laid plans, right?
Without a doubt. I think when you stop and think about it, everything kind of going on with the roadways, it's just going to be an interesting summer kind of to be driving around Elyria here, huh?
Yeah, and we'll update, you know, on our social media, you know, over at the Chronicle, at your Chronicle on Twitter. Mine's at @DaveO'Brien_CT. Or it's just @DaveO'BrienCT, something like that. I never have to say that. I'm Dave O'Brien, Chronicle Telegram. Just search it.
You just go to it and click the button, right?
Yeah, and you know, I mean, pick up the paper, and we'll keep people, you know, apprised of what's going on throughout the summer. I know, you know. You know, my bosses are interested. I'm interested. You know, people all over the city have sent me messages and said basically, when's this getting done? When's this getting done? When's this getting done? Hey, when I know, you'll know.
Sure.
So,
gotcha. Not to take you too far off track, I know you're one of the guys covering what's going on in Wellington with the train derailing today, or at least you're with the Chronicle. Are there any updates really at this point?
Not terribly much. I mean, this is an investigation, and train, and you know, unfortunately, when they happen, train and plane crashes are two of the things that take just an awful long time to investigate.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have federal agencies, you have state agencies, you know, and they have to get it right. They have to get the forensics right. They have to get the physics right. They have to figure out who did what. They have to do interviews. They have to interview witnesses, and they have to interview, you know, either pilots or engineers or all the people who are involved. So nothing is the cause at this point. Could be any number of reasons. You know, it wasn't, I'm sure it wasn't a penny on the tracks. That's
sure.
Not, that kind of stuff doesn't happen. These trains are so heavy. I mean, you're talking about if you have one of those cars loaded with sand, it's 100 tons.
Yeah.
So fortunately nobody got hurt.
Sure.
That's the most important thing. And we hate it when people get hurt and we have to report about it. But fortunately nobody got hurt. Obviously, you know, the village, you know, it interrupted a lot of things in the village. Kids got to go to school, you know, mm-hmm. So I think maybe some of them were a little upset about that. But, you know, any excuse. I mean, heck, I'll say it when I was back in school. But, you know, we're still working on it, and when we know, you know, that we'll get that word out to people. But again, nobody got hurt. That's the important part. And now you're facing a couple of days worth of cleanup.
Yeah, great to hear that. Yeah, I think he said Fire Chief, Bill Brown, basically said it takes about an hour for each of those carts. And what, there were close to 20 carts that derailed here?
There were a significant number, and off the top of my head, I don't remember the exact number. I did some sort of side projects around that on, you know, kind of the history of trains in Wellington. So I was working on that and making some calls.
Been anything like this sort of happen before?
You know, back in the 1960s, there was an actual fatal. There was a fatal train crash involving a passenger train and a freight train, which is pretty terrible. And over time, I mean, when you have basically a rail hub like Wellington was. From kind of the mid 19th century to the late 19th century, I mean, a lot of trains were going through there, especially when it was the era of rail travel. Mm-hmm. And cars come around, you know, so rail travel dies off a little bit, but they still have those massive. I mean, if you take a look at some of the overhead shots and just some of the other shots from today, you know, that some of my colleagues were taking, it's like that's a long train. Yeah. You know, some of these trains are 100 cars long. So there's significant, you know, transportation issues involved. And these things don't stop on a dime, you know, so when something happens, I'm not even gonna make the pun about it derailing people's plans, but you know, it really kind of gunks up the works, and you know, that it takes a long time to clean it up, and it takes a long time to figure out why it happened.
Sure.
So it'll be some months before there's like a final, you know, from what I read today, it'll be some months before there's like kind of a final, like, this is what happened sort of report.
Gotcha.
Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle Telegram joining us here on the Local Beat. It's brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. I want to transition into a story that you published a few days ago, talking about the census estimates and how that pertains to the growth in Lorain County. And I know there were certainly a number of big takeaways from your perspective here. There were a few things that weren't totally surprising, you know, talking about the eastern cities really experiencing the most amount of growth. We're talking about the Avon Lakes, the Avons, the North Ridgevilles. But were there any other big takeaways from your perspective when putting the story together?
You know, I think there's some excitement out there. I mean, I talked to Avon Mayor Brian Jensen, and he basically said, "Hey, pardon the boosterism, but you know that's part of his job as mayor." You know, he said the word is out. You know, Avon's a great community. That's why people are moving here. We have great schools. We have we're improving the roads, and you know, we have all this great shopping. Come shop in Avon. You know, so he did the job of what the mayor's supposed to do. Then you also have, I mean, you have North Ridgeville, which, you know, has some growing pains. I mean, they just recently hired a couple new, they got the money from the residents to hire a couple new firefighters. There's all sorts of construction going on over there. They're putting in more houses. You know, Avon still has room to put in more housing, you know, more residential areas. I'm sure there's parts of Avon Lake as well. I didn't dig too deep into that. The townships south of there, they're still growing too. No surprise, Columbia, Eaton, just getting bigger. You know, more housing starts, you know, down there, you know, just increasing population. I thought one of the more interesting things is that the U.S. Census counts prisoners in the Grafton prisons towards the village's, you know, overall population. And the Grafton Village Administrator, Joe Price, he thanked me for calling him. Just kind of as an aside, here's a little inside baseball for you, but he said, you're one of the first reporters to call me and say, hey, you know, are these numbers accurate? And he said, well, no, because every night, you know, Grafton has 3,100 people living in the village, and they have, you know, 2,400 guests, you know, in the prisons and on the honor farms and all that kind of thing. So, you know, some of those prisoners, you know, are in and out and up and down and all over the place, and they're released and they go back home or they come back. So some of those inmates count towards their federal numbers, but the state said, no, don't do that. A couple years ago, the state passed a law that said you don't have to count those people for the purposes of, you know, of the census. And he said, Grafton's actually growing. You know, it may look in the numbers, and especially in the federal numbers, that we're shrinking, but we're actually growing. We've had more housing. You know, we don't have enough housing for the people that want to live here. You know, not a lot of rental properties open at that time when I talked to him last week. You know, and so I think it's, you know, there are places that are growing. And I mean, but then you look at some of the numbers and you see, like, oh, you know, the village of Kipton, for example, you know, population declined in the past 8 years by 7%. Well, I think that was also because that seven people moved out or passed away. You know, so, you know, so you have to look at these in terms of, you know, in terms of context and the numbers. Like, that's a very small village. So, yeah, seven people, 12 people, 14 people leaving there. That's, you know, that has a real effect on your population. Whereas, you know, Elyria loses, you know, 650 people in the past 8 years. And you might realize that, like, a neighbor moved out. But there's also 59,000 people, almost 60,000 people. In the city of Elyria, you know, and more on any given day when they come into work. So, you know, Elyria has shrunk a little bit, but, you know, but not by terribly much. But you absolutely see, you know, North Ridgeville, Avon Lake, just growing. And when that's going to stop, what it means for future services, you know, fortunately the voters there have been saying, hey, you know, if we were going to move here, we want services. And I think that the city, you know, mothers and fathers are very, very appreciative of that. You know, the fact that they can hire more street workers, they can hire more police officers, they can hire more firefighters and EMTs, to service this, you know, these larger populations. I mean, 4,400 people moving into North Ridgeville in the last 8 years, you know, that's a huge number. That's big for that kind of size city, for that many people to move in. Like, that starts to affect, you know, your services, more calls, you know, that kind of thing.
Sure. It has a trickle-down effect, no doubt about that. All right, my friend, before we close out here, we need to hear some of your best scanner stories throughout the course of the week. You always have great ones, and this is one of my favorite parts of the week. So what kinds of goodies do you have this week for us?
With a little bit lighter fare at the end of the show is always great for me, too. It's better for my psyche. On the scanner from my buddy Mark Kovac, he reports that, quote, there is a garage sale, ... He was unable to give an address. Again, completely out of context. And then again, another scanner call, quote, male drinking beer by the creek path. He called the caller by their name, which the caller thought was strange because they didn't know him, unquote.
Oh, boy.
So you want to be where everybody knows your name.
Apparently, yeah. Not everyone does.
Yeah. Maybe not everybody.
Yeah, or maybe you're in a position where you don't want people to know your name, right? You just want to be 100% anonymous.
I'm John Smith, and this has been... No.
Yeah, see? There you go. You can always use an alter ego, I guess, if you need to. Well, Dave, as always, my friend, we appreciate the time. Great stuff, as always, and we will do this again next week.
Thank you. Looking forward to it.